Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. How's everyone doing this morning? So we know that there's many times when we go on through our lives and then we like to we await the Sabbath because it's a time where we can just forget about everything in the world, whether it's either your exams or whether it's your work or whether it's your job or whether it's your family, whether there's any illnesses are going around. You can just be reminded that the Lord is always watching us. He's listened to every one of our prayers. And remember how powerful prayer is. And you also have the ability to fellowship and to be amongst people of the same mindset. And so I want to take the opportunity to have each and every one of you just go to the person to the left or to the right of you and just welcome them. You want to give them a hug or a handshake or just a simple greeting. So I'll give 1 minute for each of that opportunity. And don't forget, there's people in front and behind you. All right, do we all feel welcome this morning? I didn't hear a response. We all feel welcomed? Okay, so let's go on to the sermon. So my message today is called A Personal Investment. So A is just a simple word that doesn't really mean anything in this context. But personal, what comes to mind when you hear the word personal? Self. Anyone else? No takers? Okay. Okay, your own. Confidential. That's an interesting word. Okay, investment. What comes to mind when you hear the word investment? Okay, money. That's like the first thing that always comes to people's mind. Time. What else?
Time.
What was that? Use of talent.
Commitment.
Great words. So, as I do with pretty much all of my sermons, let's go to the dictionary and see what comes amongst there. And I didn't have my transitions there, so I can't block some of them out. So the first definition I have is from dictionary.com, and it says the investing of money or capital in order to gain profitable returns as interest, income, or appreciation in value. So there's our money definition. What else? Some of you have mentioned time. Some of you mentioned talent. Some of you have mentioned commitment. So let's go to Wikipedia, and it says to invest is to allocate money or sometimes another resource, so think of time or your effort or your talents, in the expectation of some benefit in the future. So let's keep that in mind. And let's go back to dictionary because the English language is really unique in that you can get one word and have like 30 definitions for that one word. And then you can just tell someone if they don't know what that one word is, you can come up with a definition that they don't know. And then you sound a little bit smarter there. So it says in dictionary.com, a devoting, using, or giving of time, talent, emotional energy, etc., as for a purpose or to achieve something. So let's keep this in mind as we think about a quote-unquote a personal investment. When I say personal, does that seem singular or plural? Singular. So that could either mean myself or mean someone else. And let's just think about investing in someone or investing in yourself. Or let's think of investing in people. Let's think about Jesus, for example. What did he invest in certain people? We've already mentioned some of those resources. So some people want to reiterate some of those? Okay, time, energy, effort. Anything else? Self. Okay. Oh, I also have the word invest here. So invest, the definition I have here, is to spend or devote for future advantage or benefit. So who or what did Jesus invest in? And we'll just use that first word, who? People. Do we have any people he specifically invested his time, his resources, his effort into? Sinners. Who else? Disciples. So let's go grab on and zoom into that group of people, the disciples. How many of them were there? Okay, 12. So let's talk about Jesus and his disciples. So what do we have to invest? We could think about, we'll use Jesus and him mentoring or working with disciples as an example, and think how we can apply that to our individual lives. So we know that Jesus invested his time and he invested his resources, and we've mentioned effort, and we've mentioned emotional energy. Is there any other, we actually mentioned another resource we used earlier, and that was money. Let's go back to those resources. Time, effort, money, talents, which was one I did not just say, and it's up there. Interests. So what do we mean by interests? Or someone's personal interests? Name some examples. I'd like to get the congregation's input if you can realize it already. Personal interests. Examples. Financial interests. What's one word that describes someone's interests or something that someone likes to do? Hobbies. So how can we invest in one's hobbies? Or how can we invest in other people's interests? Or how can we invest in other people's by using our own effort to invest into certain people? So keep that in mind. So let's go first talk about that first resource, time. When we start working with people, why is time important? Because we don't have a lot of time. And also another important feature about relationships and time is that when you have to work with someone or have a relationship, one of the most important things that most people don't realize is that time and effort is the foundation of every relationship that you have. If you do not spend time with someone, how do you expect to have a relationship with someone? So I have examples of how you can spend time. So face-to-face encounters, when you go in front of them and you talk to them, that is spending time with them, and that sometimes that time is delicate and you're able to explain your stories or have that time to just connect with each other. You can speak over the phone and do the same exact thing. It's not as intimate since you're not in front of that person. Also, I have another one. It's called face-to-face, in which you are encountering a person and perhaps you're going to have a snack or going on a picnic with them and hang out. And another one is text messages, having that same opportunity to go one-on-one with each other and just have some quick messages. And also, another example I seem to have here is either some sort of pattern that's going on, having that face-to-face encounter and perhaps having some sort of event with them, going to a sports event. So keep that in mind for our future examples, or having the other time. Also, Skype's another way of resource. Technology is also a great way to spend time with someone. Sometimes when you're far away and sometimes you're on vacation, it's still a great way to be able to encounter that person, quote-unquote, face-to-face without being face-to-face with that person. And also that last example I have there, it's called face-to-face, and that's the ability to just maybe spend that time and have dinner with them, just talk more intimately. And the reason I have face-to-face there several times is that sometimes we think that we are spending time with other people, but we aren't actually being there in front of them. And that's something that some of us may think about working on. Jesus spent time with his disciples. Can anyone give me some examples of how Jesus spent time and effort on his disciples? A little bit quiet today. Doing activities together. So let's go to one example. I have John 21. So for those who want to open their Bibles with me, we're going to John chapter 21, and we're going to verse 11. And once you reach that in your Bibles, please say amen. Or you can follow along if you don't feel like it so. So the example I have here, if you want to follow along, it says, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So we know that Jesus, or at least in this story, Jesus came up to the disciples. And we know this is after the crucifixion, as it says, saves the third time after he was raised from the dead. What was the interesting question that was not asked here, as it says on verse 12? Who are you? And when you know someone, or actually I just kind of gave the answer, if you don't ask who are you, then the obvious answer is that you probably know that person, and that shows that intimate relationship or that connection between them. Another example I have here, in John 13, it says in verse 5, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? So what is this an example of when we're talking about spending time with someone? So what is Jesus, besides a more general term for what Jesus is doing to the disciples? Then think back to the memory verse or the scripture reading we had for today. Serving. So spending time doesn't necessarily mean just having a talk with someone or just spending time with them. It could also mean serving that person. Let's think back to that scripture verse while we're at it. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So we know that's another way we can spend time with one another. So thinking back to the overall topic here, personal investment. If you're trying to work with someone, or if you're trying to have that one friend, that one coworker, or that one student that you're trying to bring to Christ, or just having that relationship, maybe you're not necessarily trying to bring them to Christ right there, but at least starting the steps, or at least planting the seeds. The first step and the first resource you need to be able to personally invest into that person is your time and is your effort. How many of you go to work or go to school, you know you have someone who you believe they would benefit from learning about Christ? Well, we'd all benefit from Christ, but you know specifically that person would be receptive and open to learning more about Christ. But you haven't been able to take some of that time that you have. Maybe you have some free time, say during the weekends, or say you have some free time because your workload wasn't that hard and you had some free time. You're able to just take that amount of time you have and invest that into someone. You know, it's going to take a little bit of effort in that case. But how many of you, just something to think about, how many of you would be able to at least think about allocating or investing that time into that specific person? And moving on to that, we talked about another resource or something we can invest in, and that's someone's interests. So let's go into an example of where Jesus invested into the interests of his disciples. So think about all that you have and think about what is held dearly to you or what is held close. Name me one thing that most of us, hopefully all of us, share in common that we own and dear so closely. Perhaps you're sitting next to one of those members of this object or this collection or something that you own. Someone to share? Family. So let's go into how Jesus invested in the interests of his disciples. All of us are interested in seeing our family healthy or being able to just see our family in general. There are many people who have been away. Maybe perhaps they're away at school. Perhaps they're away on because of some sort of business trip. Or for any other reason, they're away from their family. Let's show in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. It says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. So he saw Jesus went to Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law, who was sick. And a way that Jesus invested in his disciples' interest in this case is healing his family. So despite his disciples leaving whatever they were doing, leaving everything behind, and following him, we see that he still was able to do something that they cared for, which is their family, to take care of their family. So even though they are following Jesus, he's taking the opportunity to still care for their family so they don't have to worry about that. How many of us would have friends or coworkers that you know their interests, but you haven't taken that time to invest in their interests or invest your time into their interests? Perhaps some ways you can do that is if you know your friend likes baseball or some sort of sport, taking them out to one of those games. I know that if you go to school, that you usually have some sort of free access to that. Or just going out and hanging out with them and attempting to play that type of game or that type of sport. I know I'm not athletic by any stretch of the imagination, but I still sometimes take that effort to hang out with my friends. Another thing that we mentioned as a resource, money. So in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily show too many instances where Jesus spent an extravagant amount of money, but unfortunately in this time and age, money is used for a lot of different things, especially going out and hanging out for dinner or just driving around, repairing gas. How many of you have thought about spending money on yourself when you could be spending it hanging out with others or apparently sharing that experience by spending your money? Just something to think about. So we know that money is a resource. We know how it's used. So we don't have to go too far into that, at least for this point. So here's another resource that we use. How many of you have some sort of talent? Okay, that's another question. How many of you don't have any talents at all? Great, perfect response. That's what I wanted. Remember that each and every one of us have some sort of talent. It says in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let them prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads and with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I have another verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And it reads, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we mentioned time, we mentioned effort, and we mentioned interest. That's something we all have in common, at least to certain degrees. But talent's a different thing because we are each given individual talents. Each of us are given each individual gifts from God. And how can we use those different talents? Some of us may be good in chemistry. I don't know how, but I can't understand that for the life of me. There's also some of you who are good with computers. Some of you are intelligent. You know everything about cars. Some of you are very talented musically. And some of us have just attempted to learn one of those talents, but haven't been given that specific gift to at least learn it to the best extent that someone else can. How can we use our talents and invest our talents into someone specifically? So think about it for a moment. What talents do you have? And how can you use those talents for each individual that you encounter in your life? Maybe you're able to take your talents and invest that into their interests somehow. Maybe somehow, you know, you have friends who have problems with their car, and you know, or you have friends who constantly have car problems. I know I do. And so you can counter some of your friends who are able to assist in that. Perhaps you know someone who has computer problems. I know several of us have had computer problems in the past. Have you been able to encounter some of those people, invest your time and effort into reaching out to them in a different way? What does this all amount to? When you're working with someone individually, there's some different ways or different things that you are doing. You can either do it as a form of training, sometimes you're using it as a form of mentoring. Leaders, keep this in mind if you are hoping to pass the torch on at one point. Training and mentoring, spending time with the person that you are planning to hope pass that torch to is a way to do it. And just generally supporting people. You know, we live in a world and a society where there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of problems, as we mentioned in my previous sermons, whether that's financially, or sometimes we worry about our health, sometimes we worry about our families, sometimes we worry about the state of the economy, sometimes we worry about how the country is going to be run in the next couple years or months to come. And we live in a place where there's so much anxiety, and how can you be able to invest your resources and your time into supporting one another? We know that Jesus invested in his disciples. We know that, yes, he has had times where he's spoken to the multitude of people. He's trying to relate to the multitude of people and telling them these different stories, telling them of these different parables. But we also know that he has had specific time with his disciples. Now, we know that there were 12 of them that he worked with. Maybe you're not ready to take on 12 people at any given time, or 12 people at a time, or just worrying about 12 different people in a given week. But at least start with one person. Perhaps if you go to school, or perhaps if you dorm somewhere, perhaps you have a roommate in that case. Or if you're in your workplace and you have a desk next to someone else, perhaps that person's really close to you. How are you able to invest some of your resources into empowering that person to at least have a closer relationship with you and using you as an example of what a life with Christ would be? Here's another question. What are we taking to heaven? I know some of us have maybe gotten a new computer or a new car or something. Is that going to heaven with us? Unfortunately not, or fortunately in certain cases. Something to think about. Matthew chapter 6, and I'll probably leave us off with that. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I have a little story. I was actually just walking out from practicing for a presentation. It was on Tuesday, and I had a student who came up. It wasn't one of my students. He was talking to one of my friends. And all of a sudden, we had this really long conversation, and I was actually had to go to class, and then I end up skipping class because we were talking for about 2 hours. And one of the things that she said, she was ranting about how her relationship with her previous boyfriend was, and she mentioned how she wasn't able to get to that person on an intellectual level. They were first talking about sitting down and talking about what is water. And water, we know, is just a combination of hydrogen and oxygen molecules. But why do they combine? Well, covalent bonds. And then I lost her completely after that. But the point was, there was a point where they kept going and going, and I think they went like 6 levels down as to why water is water. But she couldn't reach that person's intellectual level, and then the person kind of insulted her at that point. And then she kept arguing about how she's not better than that person because they aren't at that intellectual level of how physics or chemistry works. But one of the things that she did mention was that something that she had that he didn't was that she cared about people, and she knew that even if some people didn't like her, she'd be able to get along with other people. As to him, he won't get along with people unless they're at the similar intellectual level. But think about this. How much intellect or how much knowledge about the world, how much about economics do we need to know to go up to heaven? What is going to take you further? The knowledge that is here on earth, that's who you are secularly, or the people that you interact with? Which one's better to take up there? Your intellect or the people or your actions or your spiritual life or their spiritual life? Think about that. Would it be better to have brought someone up to heaven than it is to just say, wow, I learned the entire periodic table and I don't know what this is going to do for me in the future in heaven? Because, you know, we can take, you know, once you go up to heaven, we can take the opportunity to learn that all by ourselves because we have eternity to do that. But the people that we leave behind, was it worth it for that? Was it worth it to leave them behind? So as I said before, there are people in our lives that need us, whether it's to teach them about Christ or whether it's to support them in times of need. I know I've had several friends, and I know in college life is extremely stressful. I know that's the same in the workplace. They sometimes feel like they don't know what to do with their lives. Perhaps they weren't able to get those jobs that they applied for. Maybe they weren't able to succeed in that course that first time. Perhaps they are working and also going to school at the same time, and they can't take the workload. There are people who need our support and people who would benefit from knowing that there is a Savior, and we know there's a God up there who is listening to every one of our requests. He listens to our prayers, and even when we don't know it, and he's always listening. How many of us know that there is a benefit for that? Are any of you who have had friends who or people you have lost touch with because they felt that you were an influence upon them? Just think about that for a moment. So I'm going to have a quick prayer just to acknowledge those people who have those different thoughts. Because I know I've asked a lot of questions and I haven't asked too many responses. Sometimes we feel like that response that we have is a delicate topic. Sometimes we have friends who have felt suicidal at times because we haven't invested enough of our resources in those people. Sometimes there's those people who have just given up or they feel that life is hopeless and they're just living life until they feel that life is going to end just for them. So I'm going to have a quick prayer for that. Let's bow our heads for a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the opportunity here you've given to me to speak this message. Lord, we know that many of us have different resources we can contribute to the people we encounter in each and every one of our lives. Help us to reach those people, whether us as being leaders, to empower those we are mentoring so that they may be able to take the torch one day. Maybe it's just our friends that we are trying to encounter. Because not only do we care about them, but we also care about their salvation as well. Help us to realize that we have a calling to reach those in our workplaces, those people we reach in our schools, those we reach in our families, those who just reach people every day. Help us to reach to them. Help us to have the knowledge and the power we need to reach to them. Because we know that it's not the knowledge that we take up, the knowledge of the secular world, but it's the knowledge of you and the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of the Bible and the people that we take to heaven that will truly make a difference to how we live life. Continue to give us the knowledge for that. Thank you once again for the opportunity you've given for each one of us to hear this message and know that we have our different resources. Sometimes we think that we can just give a couple minutes, but some people are needing hours or days to talk with. Sometimes we feel like we can only give the minimum and it's only good enough. But sometimes we know we need to give more. We sometimes invest our time to learning about the people we encounter, their hobbies. Maybe we need to know about their relationships or the things that they're interested in and trying to get to them at a deeper level. Sometimes we feel that we need to spend more money on ourselves for whatever reason because it makes us feel better. But how about the other people that are around us? Maybe it'll make everyone feel better once we are able to know we can invest our resources on them as well. And help us to use our talents as well to reach other people. We know that many people here in the Wayne SDA Church and the visitors around and our community around have different talents. And how can we use that to reach the people around us? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given me once again to speak here at the Wayne SDA Church. And continue to bless everyone here as we will part ways. In your wonderful name that we pray. Amen. So let me read that verse again that's on the screen. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why don't we meditate on this verse as we continue, as we go on to our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is not found on that page, I'm not mistaken. Anyone have the page number? 181. The title is correct, though.